B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I want to go to the Comcast Business Hotline because every day in business is a big day. And I want to get to our co-host. Well, he just seems that way because it seems like he's always doing Eagles games now. He's Mark Schlereth, and you'll see him on your television screen on Sunday afternoon. Stink, we're coming down with 1,200 Eagles fans, and that's just one of the travel groups that's coming down. Philly Sports Trips, the best of them. So we'll be in both end zones. I'll text you and wave. Say hello.
That sounds great, and why wouldn't you? I mean, hey, listen, I'm on the bandwagon. I was on the bandwagon before the season started, and I don't know why you wouldn't be on the bandwagon because this team is legit, man. They are. I mean, I'm glad they're giving me Philly games because I think the Philadelphia Eagles are one of the top teams as far as just pure talent. Now, we'll see what happens. Obviously, a lot of things can happen between now and then, but just pure talent, roster depth. There's very few teams. Like, you're either big or you're fast, usually, right? They're, like, those are two great qualities to have, speed and size. And Philly has both. They're huge, and they're unbelievably athletic. I think they've got the best combination that I've seen, at least. And I haven't seen everybody. You know, I haven't studied everybody. But, Johnny, the best combination of size and speed and quickness and athleticism that I've seen on tape so far this year.
Well, you saw them in person on the first game against Detroit, and then you got to see them Monday night, and I'm sure you've watched the tape of that one doing your prep for the broadcast. What did you see them do differently in week two that made them look, honestly, so much more impressive?
You know, a couple of different things. I thought they were really sharp. I thought Jalen Hurts was really sharp. Two things. One, the zone read stuff, you know, where you're just flagging the ball in there and deciding what you're going to do with the ball, whether you're going to have your back, whether you're going to pull it. The RPO stuff, I thought he was pretty sharp on that. You know, he got a couple of downfield penalties, illegal men downfield, but, you know, that happens sometimes because as an offensive lineman, what you have to understand is I don't know what he's going to do. So when he pulls it and throws it, if I'm engaged in a block and I'm downfield and I'm dispensing justice, that ain't on me. And that's going to happen with that RPO game occasionally. So you are going to get those, you know, those illegal men downfield kind of penalties occasionally. I just thought they were really, really good at the line of scrimmage, you know, and creating decisive reads on that stuff, on that run game stuff. And then ultimately, the biggest difference to me was Jalen Hurts and his just ability to rip the ball. They were throwing a lot of zone stuff out there as a defense, and he just, I mean, once he made a decision, he was decisive, and he just let it eat. Man, he was like a pitcher. You know, he's like these guys that throw 100 miles an hour just coming out and saying, if you can touch it, man, if you can hit it, be my guest, but I'm just going to let it eat. And that's what he did the other night, and he was deadly accurate doing it, but I just thought the ball out of his hand was just, I mean, I thought it was just sharp all night.
And, Mark, for those of us that have watched every one of his games and nitpicked every one of his games, that was a wow moment. The fact that, and you put it perfectly, and it's what my question was going to be to you, that he was zipping the ball everywhere. And there was a thing on Twitter of his 10 best throws, stuff that sometimes you can't see by watching it on TV. It's amazing the arm strength he showed on Monday night. Did that surprise you as much of a wow moment as it was for a lot of us here in Philadelphia?
No, because I've seen him do it in practice. Like, so I've been, you know, at practice, at a Friday practice, and watched him just, like, watch him rip it. And so I've seen it with my own eyes. I think the thing that you get into when you're confident and when you're, one, you got to be really confident, Johnny. And then two, I think when you're making quick decisions. So a lot of times inaccuracy, it's just like pitching. Like when you're late, and I always talk about being late with as a pitcher, you know, when you're late, what ends up happening is your arm gets long because your body is ahead of your arm. And so you end up opening your front side, you pull your head, your arm gets long, and you either miss out and up, you know, or you hold on the ball too long and you drive it into the dirt, right? And that's what happens when pitchers are late. And the same thing happens in football. When you're late, you're not decisive. You're thinking or you're questioning whether you're going to make this throw or not. You try to throw the ball harder. You don't stay behind the ball. You open up, and therefore you have a weaker, like less velocity, less spin on the football. Like, to me, he stayed behind the ball the whole night. He was so decisive, and he was never late. And that ball just, I mean, it just jumped out of his freaking hand. And there's even, like, you see the guys in the over, I always marvel in baseball when I see a guy throwing 100 and it looks effortless. You know, it just is, he's sitting at 97, 98, and there's just no effort behind it. It's because mechanically everything is right. And that's how I felt about Jalen on Monday night, man. He was really outstanding. It was fun to watch. And that was his kind of coming out party as far as I was concerned, because I've never seen him throw the ball with that authority. The authority that he threw it with Monday night was amazing.
Yeah, Mark and Ron Rivera, and they have a little bit of a defensive problem down there. He said, you know, every time Jalen Hurts has the ball in his hand, it's a run-pass option. If you were Washington and the defensive, you know, coordinator down there, what's the best game plan against Jalen Hurts and this Eagles offense right now?
I'm one of those guys that just believes in aggressiveness. And, you know, so for me, because you play that defensive end so many different ways, you know, there's so many people that play, hey, we're going to surf technique this guy, and what we want you to do is stay square. And when he hands the ball off, you know, if he hands it off, bend nice down in there. And then if he doesn't hand it off, you know, surf down line of scrimmage. And that's such a bunch of baloney. That's like throwing a spy on Michael Vick. Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to have this, you know, middle linebacker. You're just going to stay there. And if he starts running, then, you know, once he breaks line scrimmage, like, baloney. Like, there's nobody in the world that can do that. It's asinine to think, you know, like Lamar Jackson, we're going to spy him with our middle linebacker. You guys are high. You just, like, it's dumb.
You're the one who lives in Denver.
Yeah.
Calling them high?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. Seriously.
So my thought process on that is, hey, man, you know, if it's the defensive end, have him come down and just smash. I mean, smash the running. Or say you're on the quarterback, and as soon as he flags that in there, go smash that quarterback. And you know what? No matter what. And then, you know, and then if the running back is, that's the linebacker's guy. If not, you know, if he pulls it, you're going to hit him anyhow. So I'm one of those guys that says, hey, man, give me one assignment. Let that guy go eat and forget about, you know, trying to double play the end of the line of scrimmage, because it just doesn't work.
You know, by the way, Stink, I think Jamie on our show here would just love some of that stinking good chili. He's got to get onto the stinking good website to go get some of that stinking good chili.
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't.
I don't want to sit next to him on the bus, though, going down to D.C. if he does.
Yeah, well, there's no beans in it, so we're good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's just green chili. He's going to be fine.
How would you attack Carson Wentz? And would you, like, we've seen Carson Wentz, every one of us knows here that things can melt down with Carson, especially when he's under pressure between the tackles. How do you think the Eagles will go after Wentz on Sunday?
Yeah, well, if you just go back a week ago to
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So what Detroit did, like the amount of pressure they got on him, the amount of walk-up stuff they did, the amount of pressure they got on him, in the first half, it was really good. I mean, it was, you know, bringing blitz, bringing in the middle, like you talked about, walk-up linebackers, get those one-on-ones and all that. So, I think that's something that he has consistently struggled with, you know, and he's been a guy, and I think this goes back to his last year in Philly where he got sacked 50 some odd times. You will see ghosts. You know, you will. It speeds your mechanics up is what happens. So when you see pressure, you feel like, uh-oh, gotta go. And that leads, in my estimation, even if you don't get there, a lot of the inadequacies or a lot of the inaccuracies of Carson Wentz. I mean, there's times when he throws the ball and it looks like Jalen Hurts the other night. And then there are times when he throws it and he's, like, woefully 6 yards over the head of the intended target, you know, or he's throwing one on the ground on a short back, Like, you see it on a consistent basis, and you saw it over the first 2 weeks. Like, there's a bunch of times where I'm just like, whoa, that looked awful. Just coming out of his hand, it looked awful. And I think it has to do with when he feels pressure, you know, his mechanics speed up to some degree. And I think that's the biggest issue. So, you know, my biggest thing for most quarterbacks are like this, but I think with Carson in particular, man, you want to put pressure on him on a consistent basis, because you'll get not only, you know, do you get there sometimes, and you will against Washington, but I think the biggest thing is speeding up those mechanics and making him throw a couple of errant throws.
Mark, with mine and a lot of other untrained eyes, the offensive line for the Eagles from game one that you called to game two seemed a lot better in game two. What did your trained eye tell you?
Yeah, I thought they were, I mean, I always think they're good. I think they're a great group up front, but I thought they were really sharp. I thought they were great on a bunch of their double team actions. I thought, you know, I thought in pass protection, they were great. They are so big and so athletic. I know they gave up a pressure and it gave up, I think, one sack off the edge on Jordan Mailata. So there was a couple of pressures, but I thought they were really good. And I just think they're such a uniquely built group, you know, not only size, but athleticism. Had one long breakout run, you know, and there's some things that look like they make it look like read zone, but it's not. You know, it's a straight handoff, but they still use the same handoff the same handoff mechanics that they would on the read zone stuff. And so there was one where Travis Kelce, it's just a wide handoff, but Travis Kelce, you know, exchanges with the guard, and he pulls around the guard, and that one was a long run. Had a nice, really long run, but it was great at the point of attack and at the second level, and that's what makes them so unique. Like, they can play smash mouth at the point of attack and just play a gap scheme or whatever they want, so just straight handoff. But then they've got the athleticism at guard and at center to get out on the edge and really, you know, really throw people for a loop. So that part, that stuff was really good, and they're an outstanding group. I think they're the best group in football.
One of the strengths of Washington's team, Mark, is obviously their wide receiver room with Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, and Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. Eagles have some pretty good players in their secondary. What did you see on Monday night from the Vikings game that the Eagles can apply to this wide receiver room this weekend?
Yeah, well, I mean, anytime that that you can put number two and have Darius Slay just lock somebody down, I mean, he was exceptional. And not only, like, I think that people don't really sometimes understand, like, how good he was the first third down, where he's man-on-man with Jefferson, and, you know, he comes in, step, you know, he knows they're bringing pressure, right? So he understands that, hey, man, this ball's got to come out. And so you're playing not only the man in man coverage, but you have to have intelligence, and you have to understand and have studied the game plan of what's going on. So tying your coverage and how sticky you are in coverage based upon the perceived time that quarterback's going to have the football. And so that first third down, they're just running like a little comeback, they call it thunder, you know, a little hitch route on the outside. And he is on him, man-to-man, pressed, you know, bails a little bit, then puts his foot in the ground, you know, responds to that shorter route because it just, you know, running around at the sticks and knocks that ball down. And to me, that was the start of him having one of the most exceptional games I've watched. Just understanding kind of route concepts and what likelihood the guy is going to run, on top of just being able to, you know, be incredible technique-wise. So, like, that stuff is good when you can move him and you can match him anywhere on the football field. And then, like, Bradbury's not a slouch. That guy's a damn good player. So I just think the secondary has great players. I think T.J. Edwards also, that underneath coverage stuff. I think that guy flies around smart and makes decisions, great decisions. So, yeah, those are the things. As long as you play that way, you're going to give up some plays. That's always going to happen because they have talent, but and they're very talented. And Samuel's a problem, you know, because he's a kind of a that dude is almost like a Deebo Samuel in San Francisco, the way they use him right now. And they definitely are going to get him his touches. You know, he's going to end up with, you know, 10, 12 touches, both running the ball and catching the ball. So he's an issue.
All right, Mark, in closing here, you may tell me I need to pipe down a little bit, but if they are starting out 3-0, and if they do start out 3-0 after a victory, and they're 3-0 in the conference, and I look at this schedule the rest of the way, is it wrong to think that the Eagles could end up on top of the NFC at the end of the year, because I'm looking at Tampa. They have a much more rugged road that they've got to go. The Packers have a much more rugged road than they have to go. Is it all right to dream? Just to dream. Not to say it's going to happen, but to dream about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a lot of things that can happen between now and then. But like I said, the two teams that I have done in back-to-back weeks, to me, and having watched a bunch of preseason games and having just watched, you know, a bunch of games so far this year, I always spend Monday kind of going over games and looking at what else happened in the league. Those two teams, and I haven't done everybody, Johnny, but
sure.
Philadelphia and San Francisco, to me, are physically, from a physical standpoint and a depth standpoint, the two best rosters I've seen. And so instantly, I think San Francisco just got a whole lot better with Jimmy Garoppolo playing quarterback. Because there was going to be some growing. It's, you know, kind of a Jalen Hurts type of story. There's some growing pains as you go through it, especially when you're constantly changing coordinators and doing all that stuff. I thought Trey Lance was, you know, he was in a learning curve, and developing quarterback and winning at the same time is a really hard thing to do. That's what Philadelphia went through last year. And now, you know, it looks as though that Jalen Hurts, you know, has really learned. Now, there still will be some growing pains along the way, but he's been really good. I think those two are the best, like the deepest and the most physical rosters I've watched, and I think that always bodes well for you.
We're going to have a lot of Philly Sports Trips FaceTime on Sunday in two end zones. There's going to be a lot of people in green. We're going to make lots of noise. You're going to be able to hear us.
Yeah, I'm good. Good. Man. I can't wait to point it out.
There you go. Thanks, Mark.
You got it.
Appreciate it, bro.
Thanks,
love
Mark.
You, man. See ya.
All right,
mate.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.